Let's get cracking. Okay, as is the minhag here, I never really remember what I speak about. I look beforehand on your little system there, and I still don't know what I spoke about. Okay, so we'll start off with one that perhaps I don't remember if we discussed it or we didn't discuss it, but at least it'll be chazar. So the story is told about the Abderuv. The Abderuv says, just quickly tell me did we do this one already? Doesn't yet sound familiar. So it's about the Abderuv, that the Abderuv said that you could find the concept of the Avtalerecha Kamocha. You could find the idea of loving your neighbor like you love yourself in every parsha in the Torah. Every single parsha in the Torah, you could find the Avtalerecha Kamocha. So, Talmidim said, really, where do you find the Avtalerecha Kamocha? In Parshas Balak. Parshas Balak is not exactly a parsha of loving your neighbor like you love yourself. So he said, you're giving me an easy one. Balak. Balak is Rosh Tevas. Vet Lamed Kuf. Vet is V'ahavta. Lamed is V'yacha. And Kuf is Kamocha. So if you're Shana Aleph, then I can get away with that. But if you've been here for a little longer, then maybe you'd be one of the Talmidim of the After Rav who said to him, Rebbe, that's a very nice shot. There's only one problem. V'ahavta is the Vav, not a Vet. And Kamocha is with a Kaf, not a Kuf. So he said, with an attitude like that, you'll never love anyone, right? So essentially, the concept of being able to take a look and maybe find more than what meets the eye. That's the concept of says the Abderuv. And I want to share with you a Mishnah. And the Mishnah is found in Pirkei Avos. Do you have one of those here? Okay, so I'll just quote it. Hu haya omer. And now I'll wait for a Mishnah. Right, so the Mishnah says the following. It's found in Perek Dalid, Mishnah Gimel. Thank you very much. Dalid Gimel, Dag, fish, says the following. We're talking about here, this is Ben Azai. Al tehi buzz l'chol adam, v'al tehi maflig l'chol davar, she'ein l'cha adam, she'ein lo shah, v'ein l'cha davar, she'ein lo makom. Mishnah says, a person shouldn't... I was hoping for an English one, but all right. A person says, okay, you heard what it said. So now, what it means is like this. Alti buzz l'chol adam means don't be scornful or disdainful. Now, in proper English, you know that. To chol adam, to every person, to any person. Alti mafl l'chol davar, she'ein l'chol adam, she'ein lo shah, and don't, even anything that exists. You know, don't be scornful or look down upon or try to take a look and see to any person, to anything. She'ein l'chol adam, she'ein lo shah. There's no person that doesn't have their time. Ve'ein l'chol davar, she'ein lo makom. There's no thing that doesn't have its place. Now, another mission says, al rishon rishon achron achron. I'm just going to go to achron for a moment. Have you guys ever found something in your room, whether it's here or it's back at home, a little piece, like a little... It could be a little plastic piece of something, or metal something, and you're like, what is this? It looks familiar, but you don't really know what it is. And you put it aside, and if like months later, you're cleaning up again, and you find it again, you're like, this is just ridiculous, you throw it out. You know where I'm going with this, right? The very next day, you find the thing that it's needed for, and that whatever that was doesn't work anymore, right? So everything has its place. Everything has its place. That's not showing me an excuse to hoard everything, right? But that's the concept. Everything has its place. Every person has its time, and everything has its place. So I want to try to focus in on this a little bit, at least in reference to the people. First, we have the pasuk that tells us, the pasuk in Chumash, I remember when I was going to high school. So right before I went to high school, in eighth grade, at the end of eighth grade, there was orientation. Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky. I went to Davis Red and Stavishilaska for Borthamkar. At the time, it was called Hab. They just didn't pay up yet. So, that can't get back to them. that never happened. Okay. So anyway, but in any event, that was where I went. So Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky was a Menahel Rosh Yeshiva. I actually spoke to him quite recently, and I told him how he remembered what he spoke about, when he spoke about eighth grade at the end. And one of the things he mentioned a lot, he said, the Pasuk says, of lo sonu ishes amiso v'yoresem elokecha ki yeneshem elokecha elokechem. V'lo sonu ishes amiso. There's a Pasuk in the Torah which tells us, you're essentially, the pasuk says, just very straight without any rishon, just you're not allowed to make somebody feel bad. You're not allowed to make somebody feel bad. V'lo son isha samiso. It's just, it's an isha doraisa to make somebody feel bad. The Rambam says this is talking about maisim rishonim. You're not allowed to remind somebody about things in their past. Right? So we all have history. We all have things, right? We all have things that we've done. Ritvas, rashbas, and other things. And perhaps the other things is what I'm referencing. You know, like when you see a friend of yours from back in the day, they're like, oh, hey, oh, you remember? You remember? And you're like, I'm trying not to. Get out of here, right? Ister, right? Guard your eyes. Netzbar. Okay, anyway, but the point is that you know, you remember these different things that go, and someone reminds you of an event or a situation or something that you did. That's an Issa D'oraisa. You're not allowed to go and remind somebody of Maisim Rishonim, something that they've done in their past, that they're embarrassed about, that they've changed, they've done tshuva, and to go and do such a thing. But besides that, in a very simple level, like we mentioned earlier, it's just not nice. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to make somebody feel bad. It's just not a nice thing. So we said, number one, Issa D'oraisa. And besides that, which we're going to focus a little more, is the following. It's just not a good idea. See, because you never know who someone's going to end up being. You never know who someone's going to be being. And this is when the Mishnah says, Alti buzz l'chol adam, never go ahead and scorn or be disdainful towards any person. She'ein l'cha adam, she'ein l'sha. There's no person that doesn't have their time. You never know who someone's going to be. I was on a program somewhere, and there was a guy who was telling me that he was investing heavily in a type of drink, a type of energy drink. And he was going to meet some billionaire that he was looking for an investment with. And when he went to go look for this guy, to get to this guy, it's like you have to make a meeting with the secretary to even get a meeting with the secretary to make a meeting with the guy. Like, it's a whole spiel. And the guy finally got a meeting with the secretary just on the phone, a couple of minutes, to convince the next guy to perhaps see him. So he gets through. He finally does. He gets through. And when he gets through to the guy, he gets his date, the time where he's going to be and everything. So he gets there, he walks in, and when he gets into this office, there's a few people sitting around in the office there. There's someone else, right? He's dressed in like to the night, he's got a nice suit on and everything, getting ready for it. And there's a guy next to him who's wearing, which he was a little taken aback by, but some guy like wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt, you know? And then some other guy who's wearing jeans and whatever. And then someone else, another suit. Everyone's there to do their thing. Everyone's coming to do their little spiel. So in the little waiting room, they're schmoozing, right? Just a little there, they're schmoozing. So what are you here for? What are you here for? What are you here for? And so he starts saying himself, he's here for a certain energy drink, whatever, he wants to be with the guy. So the guy with the suit, the guy sitting next to him with the suit says to him, oh, interesting, so like, what's your price point? Like, what do you, how much are you going to charge for it? So he says what he's thinking. And then like the janitor guy, you know, next to him, you know, starts saying, so like, who cares about energy drinks, you know? And he's like, no one, but thank you for asking. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for being here, Mr. Janitor, yeah? And to make a longer story shorter, another guy comes into the room and everybody like gets up for this guy and he says, you know, are you so-and-so? And he says, you know, he turns to this guy, this friend of mine, let's call him Daniel. And he says, are you Daniel? He says, yeah. He says, okay, come with me. And he takes him into like another office, like a big boardroom with like a beautiful table, all the chairs. And he sits down, the other guy. And then the janitor guy comes in also, right? This guy with the short, you know, the sweatpants. And he's like, dude. And he just sits down at the table. And they start schmoozing. And the guy in the suit starts saying, so what do you want to do? The whole thing. And every time he's saying something, this janitor keeps saying like, well, I wouldn't price it that much. You know, I would do it less, you know? And maybe some of you already picked up on it as he then turns to the, finally gets frustrated. He says, excuse me, if you don't mind. It took me months to get a meeting with the secretary, to get a meeting with the, pardon me, sir, if I may, to get a meeting with this wealthy man. And you're just messing everything up here, right? And the guy goes, allow me to introduce myself. Right, I'm Mr. Billionaire. Mm-hmm. Right, the guy who's walking around in his sweatpants and a t-shirt, and he's like, oh, he's like, now get out. Yeah, and no, he didn't say that to him, but he discussed with him. But at that point, the meeting obviously took a turn for the little uncomfortable. And the guy said to him, I want to tell you something. I hear you, but I just invested about $50 million in another company, and it's very similar to yours, so like another type of drink. And he said, keep an eye out for it. It's called coconut water. I don't know if you guys are familiar with coconut water. Anyone familiar with it? Yeah, it's quite big now. So this guy was the guy who was behind the coconut water. This guy ended up not getting it. You go ahead, you behave a certain way to a certain person, and that ends up being the investor. That ends up being the person that you actually need to get. As a matter of fact, I was invited somewhere once to speak. There I was. And it was just after I heard a shiur. I just heard a shiur about a person. A yid always have to have a kasha. You always have to have a kasha in your mind. You got to be thinking, always have something in your mind, right? So what happens? I come to this place, and I'm talking to some people, and this one guy, I go over to him, he says, oh, shalom aleichem. I'm not going to say where it was or whatever it is, as you'll see why in a moment. I said, shalom aleichem, and the guy says, aleichem shalom, and I said to him, so what's your question? He said, what do you mean? I said, what's your kasha? He goes, what kasha? What are you talking about? I said, what are you talking about? Are you a yid? Are you Jewish? Like, every yid has to have a kasha. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's a kasha? He's like, I don't understand what you mean. I said, what do you, listen. Like, well, listen, do you learn? A little bit. A little, are you a bum? Like, what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? Learn a little bit, man. You know what I'm saying? Learn. What's your kasha? What's going on here? Are you working? Yeah, I work. You're working. Okay. Maybe you should learn a little bit, okay? Maybe you should learn a little bit. Like, as I'm saying this, the rav of the community comes over and goes, ah, I see you met Mr. So-and-so. He's the one who brought you here. I was like, oh, did he? Right? And that was, again, the last time I was brought there. But understand that who are you talking to? You never know. You never know who someone's going to be. Now, I want to share you with a situation. With this, a couple of you, I asked this, so this might sound familiar because I asked you this question and we spoke about it. This was the story I asked if we had spoken about it. I was at a conference somewhere. And when I was at a conference, I met there a speaker in the Jewish world. There was a Jewish world speaker. And I ended up in an elevator with this person. Best part of the story is I told this over at a conference, at another conference, I told the story over where there was a lot of teachers, a lot of speakers in the Jewish world. And I was speaking in front of all these speakers. Afterwards, almost all of them came to me and said, look, we thought you were talking about us, right? And each one, I made sure that they should know it was them. And but what happened was the following. I turned to this person. I turned to this person and I said to them, notice, I don't know if you guys picked up on it yet, I've yet to have said a gender. I don't know if you paid attention to that, right? So I said to that person, wow, hello. And I said, like, shalom aleichem, shalom aleichem. And I said hello. Yeah. Anyways, I'm a chitz the whole thing. I said, it was a guy, okay? So I turned to this guy, yeah, yichud. Okay, so imagine what elevator, does it stop, does it not stop, what floor? And anyway, so I go ahead. It was a fellow. And I said, and I'm sure all of you know who this is, by the way. And I turned to this guy, I'd never met him before. I turned to this guy and I said to him, oh, shalom aleichem, like, you know, I just want to know, like, I really like your speeches, like, you're a really great speaker and whatever. And the guy says to me, like, oh, yeah, yeah, like, lechem shalom, yeah, yeah. Now, it wasn't like there was a lot of stuff going on, like, there was nothing else. It was me and him in the elevator. And he's like, yeah, lechem shalom. And then, like, went back to, and I was like, ouch, you know, ouch, you know. You could say hello, you know what I'm saying? You could just like say, you're well, thank you, you're welcome, whatever. It was a very uncomfortable situation. And I find this not uncommonly that you have what's known as like celebrity speakers. Celebrity speakers are those who, they get up there and you think they're the nicest people in the world, right? And then you go and you meet them and they're actually not as nice, let's put it that way, right? Not as nice. And you find it's a little uncomfortable. That's my experience. Maybe it's just me, I don't know. But that's my uncomfortable situation. As opposed to others, or some others. You shouldn't do this. This is a vaklos nora, but once you're listening, I'll tell you that just for me. Don't say anything, all right? Just don't say anything. Afterwards, whatever you want to, whatever you say. But for me personally, I met Rav Pesach Krohn. And my own experience, it was a blow away. And I've seen him with many, many people. Every time I said, he was like, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Do you have any stories from an ex-bunk or something? Really, like, how are you from and what's going on in your life and what can I do for you? And let's talk about the girl with one eye and then we'll move on to the story with the man who died and then we'll talk about that plane, right? Okay, whatever, yeah. So, but he really, really cared. It was a mamasha mensch. And I tell you, and I've spoken to him since. And then the next time I saw him, I was like, here, take this book for your kid and take the, it's in my car. I wrote the book. Like, take that book and take this book. I'm like, I'll take them all. Just keep giving me books, whatever books you have, right? And he gave me the Grease CDs, three Grease CDs that he went to Greece with and the whole thing. Amazing. But this other individual is not like that exactly. About 2 minutes later, that person came back to me and says, "Oh, you're Rav Gav?" So I go, "And 2 minutes ago, I wasn't anyone?" And we were in a lobby at that stage, so he goes, "What?" I said, "Nothing, never mind. Aleichem shalom." But I felt to myself, ouch, all of a sudden, oh, you've heard my name before, you don't know who I am, you have no clue what I am, and all of a sudden we care, all of a sudden it means something. What about before I was that person? What about before you knew who I was? What's the difference? We give such respect and honor to certain individuals. Right, whether it's, generally, it's rich people, right? Let's call a spade a spade. Spades are spades. Now that we did that, let's move on. Right, let's go. We go ahead. We give respect to rich people. A rich person walks in the room, and we go and we're like, "Oh, did you know that guy's worth like $1 billion? Oh my gosh, you know what I'm saying? He's worth like $1 billion. Right? Okay, who cares? Why do we give respect to rich people? Come on, why? Right, essentially, just to call it straight out, it's because you want their money and you think there's a chance you're getting it. You see, if you knew with clarity you're not getting their money, if you knew that, speaking when I said this, like at that same conference, I go, "So why is it we give respect to rich people?" Now this is funny, because this is an Eish HaTorah conference and all the donors are there. So I'm like, "Why do we respect rich people? Come on, people. Well, who cares if they're rich? Why do we respect them?" So someone yells out, "Because we want their money," right? So I said, "I was thinking because they're very honorable, because they really deserve this respect, and because we want their money." But essentially, it's because you want it. If you knew with clarity you ain't getting it, you wouldn't give them respect either. But what about the person who doesn't have the money? Maybe they do. Have you any clue who people are? You have no idea. You have no clue. You have no idea. My friends, this is the concept of when someone is something, we give the honor, but when not, we don't. We don't even realize like what's going on. We think these little people. There was a kid who loved the Knicks. The Knicks, right? If you guys are familiar, back when you were younger, there was a thing called the basketball, and I think like a $10,000 court outside. But there was a team. Okay, we go back. The Knickerbockers, and there was a player by the name of I think they. He had different names, either the Missing Link or Patrick Ewing, whatever. Anyway, so there was a player by the name of Patrick Ewing, number 33. And there was a kid who was a die-hard Knicks fan. This kid loved the Knicks. He loved the Knicks.
He actually loved himself.
No, he didn't, right? He loved the Knicks, yeah?
You love yourself, not the fish, because you take care of the fish.
Okay, I get it, yeah? He loved the Knicks, yeah? And what happened? One game, he waited 2 hours after the game. He waited 2 hours after the game in order that he should get Patrick Ewing's autograph. He waited 2 hours to get this. And when the game, you know, ended, and okay, they didn't do too well that game, they lost the game, and all the players were walking out, and Patrick Ewing, this kid was like, "Here it is, you know, here it is," right? And he goes that, and Patrick Ewing, he's like, "Mr. Ewing," and no response. He's like, "Ooh, ooh," and then he looks over, right? And when he looks over, he says to him, he goes, he's like, "Can I get your autograph?" And I can't tell you what he said, right? Because we're in a base medrash and Hashem's listening here. But he said, you know, we've discussed in the past 4-letter words, which you're not allowed to, like, you know, like love and hope and things like that. Anyway, so he basically said to him, "Go away, kid," right? Something like that. Yeah, but in other words. The kid was crushed. He's wearing like all the paraphernalia. He's got everything. This kid's waiting for it, and he is crushed. In the meantime, another fellow walks by, and he sees his kid is all down. So he says, "Hey, kid, what's wrong?" He's like, "You know, I was waiting for Mr. Ewing." He goes, "Who?" He goes, "Whoo-hoo." I goes, "Ah, Patrick." He says, "You know, I was waiting for Patrick Ewing, and like he came out and he told me that he loves me and to have hope." And he's like, "Wow," he said that to a kid. He's like, "Yeah," and they get arrested for all other reasons. Anyway, so he goes ahead and he says, he's like, "Yeah, I was waiting for his autograph." So he says, I'll give you an autograph." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Okay," you know, and he just autographed everything. He autographs his hat and his thing and his arms and his whole thing. And when the kid gets home, he asks his parents, like, you know, who it was, and it happened to be a fellow. There's an He was an old baseball player. His name was Michael Jordan. Right? Maybe you heard of him before. Didn't do too well in baseball. He's really good at basketball. And it was Michael Jordan. Yeah, he said, you never know. You never know who it's going to be. You don't know. I'll tell you, there's a concept of it, a very scary story, which I've heard different versions of. But in the book that Rabbi Krohn gave me, okay, it says, I'm going to tell you the version that I saw in that book. And I don't remember what page because, I don't even know. I didn't even look. But I looked at the story. And the story is told like this, that when Rav Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, the Rav of Brisk, said that right, I said the Brisk, the Rav of Brisk was once traveling. Who walked up the stairs? Where are you? Right? Thank you. Not the Brisker, the Rav of Brisk was traveling once with his wagon driver. And they're coming along, you know the story, don't be that guy. And they're coming along, and what happens? It starts snowing heavily, heavily. And as it's snowing quite heavy and really, really heavy, he starts to say, like, oh my goodness, we have to stop. And what happens, they see that there's an inn, right? There is a hotel. And so they stop off at this hotel, and they get there, and it's all closed, everything's closed. And he starts knocking on the door, and no answer. Okay, now I want to tell you another story. So, we'll finish this one first. So he goes at, and eventually what happens is that this guy yells at the top. He's like, what do you want? Don't you see we're closed? He's like, he responds, this is Gabba. He's like, don't you see we're dying, right? And he's like, is that my problem? Right? He goes, yes. Yeah. He goes, open up the door, right? So he says, all right, whatever, fine, all right, whatever. So they open the door, he comes along, he leads him in. He's like, okay, come, okay, you just like stay in that room over there, okay? Just go to the room, just like, leave us alone, okay? Like, who's us? He goes, me, okay? Leave me alone, go sit there, and good night. Yeah, this cold room, puts him on the side. And it's okay, they're thankful, because outside's freezing, it's dangerous. And I says, okay, so they're waiting there. After a little bit of time passes, there seems to be like a lot of commotion outside. And when they're outside, there was a whole entourage of Hasidim too. And they start to make a lot of noise. They come up to the door, and someone bangs on the door, and they go, open the door for the Heilige Rav Aaron Kordenor. The Heilige Rav Aaron is here, and the Hasidim. So this guy, like, the light turns on. He comes out. He opens the door. He says, come on in. Be our guest. You can put our service to the test. Tie a napkin around your neck. Sherry, we'll provide the rest. Don't worry. Soup du jour. Hot or derp, we only live to serve, whatever you want. You try the great stuff, it's delicious. You don't believe ask the dishes, whatever you want to say. They can sing, they can dance. I go, after all, it's France, And they go ahead, it wasn't really France, but okay, so they go ahead and they come in. The dinner is never second best. We've got a lot to do. Do you want one lump or two? We're going to sing with this tea. Be our guest. Okay, so he goes ahead. And they come in. I mean, life is so unnerving for a servant who's not serving, you know what I mean? You're not whole without a soul to say, you know, same thing, the good old days when you're useful. Anyway, so he goes ahead and they come in. Suddenly the good old lady's dog, because nobody he's there, it's all snowing, and he says, come in, Rav Aaron. And they come into the room, and he puts up some tea and some cake. Of course, it's stale because this is like before any refrigerator. And they go ahead, and he goes and he sits down, and he's walking by, and he walks by. He notices in the other room, he notices that someone's in their room, like this cold room, and he sees, looks like a his dress, he's got the dress. He looks over and he says to him, not Yelavush, Yelavush, and he goes and he looks over and he sees, he's like, oh my goodness, he goes, Is that Rav Yosef Ber? He's like, what? Oh my goodness. He says, Rav Yosef Ber, come out. What are you doing in that cold room? Come out with us. Join us. Come sit with us. And he's all right. And he goes to the innkeeper. What are you doing? What's he doing over there? Do you know who this is? How could you put Rav Yosef Ber in the other room? I said, that's crazy. It's nuts. I could just go unbelievable. And he goes, oh my gosh. I don't know. He's like, well, you better have known, my friend. You better go beg his forgiveness. You know what I mean? So he comes over. He's like, Rabbi, like, I'm so sorry. Like, do you forgive me? Do you forgive me for what I've done? I'm so sorry. I did not. I'm so, do you forgive me? And he said, no. Now, this is like one of these real letdowns if you're a kid, My kids are like, what? I was like, good night, Kinderlach. And I walked out of the room. Yeah, I said, what does that mean? No. He says, no. He goes, what do you mean? No? And he says, no. And he goes back to the Rebbe. He says, what do I do? He goes, you beg his forgiveness. So he starts crying his eyes out. He goes, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I know not what I do. You know what I'm saying? Please forgive me. I can't. Please. I'm so sorry for what I've done. Can you forgive me? He says, listen. Okay, listen. I'd love to forgive you. There's only one problem. You're asking the wrong person forgiveness. He said, well, what do you mean? He goes, you're asking the Rav of Brisk forgiveness, but what about the guy who you thought I was before? You're not asking him forgiveness. I can't forgive you for going ahead and being buzzed l'chol adam who wasn't me. Sorry, can't help you. And he was like, what? Okay, so now there's different versions. My favorite part is just when it ends like that. But others go on and say that he said, of course, I forgive you. Next time you come to Brisk, I'll show you what it's about and I'll really give you some cover or whatever. But it's a very powerful idea. You can't ask forgiveness from someone if it's not the person you're asking forgiveness from. An understanding of never understanding who someone is, never understanding who someone's going to be. It's a pachad that these people end up being like, especially if, like, you know, you have a student, they end up being a cop, you know, you get pulled over by your student. Enough about me. So now understand, my friends, you never understand, you never know who someone's going to be. Alti baza chol adam. Okay, that's part one. I want to share with you a part two, though. I want to shift this a little bit. The Medrash says, and following the Medrash is found in Rus Rabbah 5:6. It is a very, very famous Medrash. Certainly you've heard it before. The Medrash says the following. It says that, I believe it's Amar of Yitzchak. Yeah. It says that if Reuven would have known that the Torah was going to record the fact that he was trying to save Yosef from the brothers, then he would have carried him out on his shoulders to Yaakov. And it says, if Aaron would have known that the Torah was going to record the fact that he got all excited when he heard that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be the man, he would have come out like dancing and singing. And if Boaz would have known that it was going to be recorded that he gave to Rus these parched grains, he would have given her fattened calves and amazing, delicious food. Now what is this teaching? Well, okay, in other words, like, oh, if people would have known people who were watching, then they would have done something more. In other words, like, if no one's watching, you can do whatever you want, but if people are watching, so you better be good because people are watching. Always pshat a little bit deeper. Pshat is, I didn't realize how chashiv this was. I thought I'm just doing a small little act. What's the big deal? We do small things all the time. We do little ideas happen to us all the time. What's the big deal? Alti baz lechol adam means what? You're the adam. On the one hand, we can understand it to mean out to be chol adam means other people. Don't be disdainful or scornful to other people. I see someone, you know, I have to treat you with respect. I have to treat you with respect. You have to treat me with respect. Nothing to do with any sort of position. It's just as an adam, as a ben adam. But then, who else is the adam? Al tibas the chol adam. Who's included in the chol? You. You're the adam. Al tibas to you. I'll to be buzzed to understand the impact that you make and the little things that you do. Says, oh my gosh, says Aaron, I didn't realize it was such a big deal that I went ahead and I rejoiced for my brother. Okay, so I rejoiced for my brother. If I would have realized it's such a big deal, I would have done even more. And then Aaron says the same to the boss, I would have done even more. Reuven, I would have done even more. I thought it's like, okay, I'm doing something good. I'm saving his life. But I didn't realize it's such a big deal that everyone's going to remember. I heard in a shift from Rev Left a number of years ago that every one of us is going to have a Megillah written about us. Every one of us is going to have a Megillah written about us. And Lassad Lavo, everyone's going to be able to read this Megillah. Understand that when we go and we see these ideas of the little things we did in our life, if we would have noticed and recognized who we were, And the power that we hold and the things that we do, it would blow our minds. It would blow our minds, and we would do them a lot differently. We do it with a lot more emph, a lot more herzig. We put a lot more into it if we recognize that powerful. I want to share with you a story. There's a story which I heard from my chavrusa. What's that book called?
Living Emuna.
And Living Emuna 1. Okay? In Living Emuna 1, not the one you're doing, okay? Now, in Living Emuna, is that two? Oh, that's one. Okay, so it's found on page, I don't know, because I never read it. But the story goes like this. If you heard this one, don't be that guy. Story's like this. I love this story. I'll tell it to you now. So the story is that there was a boy who was in a yeshiva bucher, not unlike yourselves, okay? And he was once had to take a cab somewhere. So he got in the cab, he's going somewhere, and he got so into his learning that he forgot that he was in a cab. The guy was a cab, push it. He was just, you know, he's in the back of a cab, he's in a car. He thought someone's giving him a ride. His head's in the safer. He gets to his place. He gets to, you know, wherever they were going, and the cab driver stops and says, okay, you got him. So he just takes the thing, he goes, okay, shkoyach. And he gets out of the cab. He starts walking away. So the cab driver's like, oh no, he didn't. Oh lo hulo. Oh lo hulo. And he looks back to see. He looks back to see like what's going on. And he realizes, yeah, sweet Ehrlich, you know, Yeshiva Bukhur, not unlike yourselves. He says, you know what? Just let it go. Let it go. Don't hold it back anymore. I don't care. He says, I'll let it go. And he starts driving off. As he's driving off, the Yeshiva Bukhur, as he drives, that second he goes, wait a minute. I was just in a cab. And he looks back and he sees the guy. He goes, no. He grabs it. Well, he doesn't close it because Epistemimus and Emsa Limut. He's like, no. Right? He starts chasing the thing. And he's going after it. And it gets at a red light. And he's like, oh, Hashem. Alhamdulillah. And he goes. And as he's about to reach it, it turns green. The cab takes off. He's like, Hashem. And he goes, and someone goes, no, it's actually a cab, not Hashem. He's like, oh, whatever. And he starts running. And it gets to the next red light. And he did back again, green. And this goes on for about 15 minutes until finally he gets like one of these elongated lights. And he goes, it's like, geez, this time he's like, he goes full speed, you know what I'm saying? He takes out his sits and starts twirling to propel. He starts flying. And he goes ahead. You know what he do? Last thing, he gets it. This time he wastes no time. He jumps on the cab. Cab driver's like, what is that? So let me tell you another story. Anyway, so the cab driver is like, what's going on here? And the guy's like, and the guy looks at him and he goes, what in the mabiha? What in the? And he looks at him and he goes, I owe you 20 shekel. And the cab driver goes, Ad kitekach? You know what I mean? You ran after me? I mean, how long have you been running? Like 5 minutes? He goes, 15. He's like, wow. He's like, oh my goodness. You know, I would just would have let the whole thing, like, I didn't even, you know, that's like the worst thing to tell a guy. I just didn't even mind. Oh, thanks. You know? He goes, no, don't. I don't even need the money. No, he's like, you better take this money, right? He goes, here, take the money. And he goes and he's like, wow. And he goes, okay, bye. And he turns around and he just collapses. Okay, so he walks, whatever it is. This cab driver is just so blown away by this. Wow, amazing. Guy did it. That's a massive Kiddush Hashem. Incredible thing. You gotta live a Muna for those things. So what happens? Let's fast forward 34 years. Why 34? Because everyone usually uses these round numbers like 30 or 25. So it was 34 years later, not to the day, about 2 months after that day. About. Wasn't exactly two. And he goes ahead, and this younger man is no longer, you know, he's an older man, and you know, he's still learning in the Heilige Kail and you know, everything, and he sees a sign, you know, for like a shir given on Kiddush Hashem, and he's very moved by Kiddush Hashem, as you see, it's something that's part of his life, a little story about that. He decides to go to the shir, Big Rav, giving Kiddush Hashem, he goes, he's listening to it. As he's listening to the shir, you know, he's blown away, beautiful shir. There's one thing that really caught him. Now, I'm going to just take a sidestep for a moment. I don't know the makor for this. I'm just telling you the story. This is the way that it was told. Apparently, the Rav mentioned, anyone who does a Kiddush Hashem, there is no question you will see the peiros of the Kiddush Hashem. You'll see the fruits. You'll see the outcome of the Kiddush Hashem that you made. Okay, if you have a makor, I'd love to hear it. But anyway, this is what he says. So this fellow, afterwards, came to this Rav, and he said to him, listen, you don't mind me telling you a story. You know, I hear you say you see the fruits. You see the outcome. Well, I want to tell you, and he tells him the whole story. And he goes, I never saw the fruits. I never saw the outcome of such a story. And I pushed myself, made a very big Kiddush Hashem. So this Rav looks at him and gives him a big smile. And he says to him, Ani anahag. And he said, what? He said, I said, Ani anahag. He goes, no, I heard you. He goes, what? He goes, I'm the driver. He goes, what do you mean you're the driver? The driver was a secular guy. He goes, Ani Yodea, Ani Anahag. He's like, what are you taught? What is that even? What? He said to him, you remember when you chased after me for 5 minutes? He goes, 15. Right? He goes, and then you jumped in my car and I tried to shoot you. You remember that? And he goes, oh yeah, I still have a scar. He goes, well, when you walked away after you had paid me, I said to myself, whoever that kid was and whatever he's learning, that's amazing. I gotta look into this. I look around, I see there's a Beit Medrash, there's a Beit Medrash there. And I said, I gotta go ahead. And I went and I sat down, and there was someone there. I said, you gotta teach me Torah. And I started to study Torah, and here I am, you see, I'm the peros of your labor. You see, this is a maisa that, you see, it takes years and years till you finally see the peros of what is happening. Alti baz l'chol adam means you are the adam. You never realize the impact of the little things you do. Now, sometimes you say, whoa, it's a big deal. Friends, you understand that just like you look at people and you have looked at people in your life, you look at people in their own base medrash. I'm sure every one of you has looked at somebody else in this base medrash without ever telling them and said, you know what? I was inspired by that person, something that they did. The same thing applies for you. Maybe they're not inspired, but there's something there, right? There's something there. So maybe they're inspired by something else that you do. Every one of us, whether we like it or not, are role models. Everything that we do in our lives, there's somebody watching you. In which case, understand, I'll tell you, buzz a choladam. Sometimes you're like, but who am I anyway? What's the big deal? You have Rabbanim or whatever it is, but who am I? The answer is, who are you? You're an Adam. And I'll tell you, buzz a choladam. Never go and scorn or disdain any person, because you never realize the potential and the concept of who that person may be and the power that they hold. So let's do the following, just a quick recap of everything we did. End up with one story, and then we'll look at each other awkwardly and I'll leave. Okay, here we go. So we started to get also the after offices, balik after the kumach with that like day, you're gonna get nothing in your life. Right? Take the time to see the beauty of the people that Mishnah Baker offices as well as well. First we're gonna kind of possible gonna skip a little bit, go the other way to become rescue set in DRS before the DRS call out. It says below, so you saw me so first says go ahead, you can't go. Says, number one, it says don't be not nice. It's a nice thing to do. I might say Mishnah, oh you remember? Right, none of that stuff is it's the right stuff. But another thing is it's not a good idea. You never someone is like the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, Perek. Dalad Mishnah. Gimel. It says who was it? Ben Azai comes and he says, what? Alti. I said, every single person has a place of a person has a time. I understand him comes with, oh, coconut water. I said, oh, yeah, okay, Mr. Janitor. You're Rav God. Yeah, okay, Rabbi. And I said, I'll tell you something funny. I'll tell you, let me interject. There was a woman there. Not that I spoke to her, but I did. And afterwards, she said to me, I couldn't help but thinking you're talking about me the whole time. I really couldn't help but thinking until you said, and he. I said, it's a cover up, okay? Yeah, it was. But understand, my friends, you never realize if someone's going to be and say, well, if a person goes to get hired as you, and then they'll not have you back in the community because you said you're a bum, you got to learn some Torah. You never realize it might be your student and become a police officer, Michael Jordan, baseball player. Right? Say, I'm missing link, I'm going to learn the evolution here tonight. Right? And somebody go, we give honor to a person, not to another. Why do we give honor to rich people? Because they're honorable and we want their money. All right, we got the story of the brisket, I would say, well, I can't forgive you. Why? Because you didn't talk to me. You were talking to somebody else at the time. When you look at somebody else, and all of a sudden, I realize the person's name, they're being looking at the measure says in Rus Rabbah 5-6 yeah 5-6 comes and says what and it was started by saying if Reuven would have known he would carry him souls and if Aaron would have known he would carry him souls hey Moshe hey Moshe hey give me an M give me a shin give me a hey whatever it is right he's saying give me an M and a shin and a and then he got they get so excited about it and if whatever the boys would have known he would have pumped it up why because people are looking all of a sudden you're going to impress them no because if I would realize the chashivas of it I would put it alti chol bat chol adam yudi adam realize the fact the path that we hold the fact that we're role models the fact that I stand that goes and chase on the cab driver I'm not saying you have to do it every day. But you go and she's on the cab driver, and it's not happening. My friends ended up changing a person's whole life, and you see the pairs of it at some point in time in their life. And the other way, realize the fact that the power and the koch that we have, that we hold, just like you look at other people and they don't even know they're looking at you, so too people are looking at you, you don't even know that they're looking at you. In which case, understand the concept of you have a tremendous koch to be able to affect people, not just other people, but yourself. But not only yourself, but other people. And recognize the fact that if you go out and you realize that, it would change everything. I want to end off with this one story. This is a story that was, I went to visit. I was somewhere, and there I was. I don't like to say the places in case, the guy comes for me. So anyway, I was in this place. It was somewhere in America, and I gave a talk. I gave a talk about Koach HaDibur, nothing to do with this discussion. A guy came to me afterwards, this Russian guy, and he says to me, "Have you been to France?" I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Have you been to France?" I said, "No, I was never in France." "Yes, you were." "No, I wasn't." "Yes, you were." "No, I wasn't." "Yes, you were." "You know what? Fine, I was." "Now, where are we going with this?" He goes, "Are you sure you weren't in France?" I'm like, "Who are you?" Right? He's like, "Hold on a second.
Yeah, we got him. Okay.
Never mind. Why did you have a question? What do you want? Why do you want to know who I am? Why? Why? Who is asking? I said, what's going on here? The guy goes, are you sure you were never in France? 2006. I said, all right, okay, you know what? Let me think about it. No. He said, no, really think. I said, okay. So I'm thinking France. What do I know about France? What comes to the, unfortunately, now we have like these attacks, but before that, what comes to mind when you think of France? Okay, so that's what's that? Okay, I was thinking Eiffel Tower as well. And the first thing that came to mind was Eiffel Tower. I thought Eiffel Tower. I was like, Eiffel Tower. I was at the Eiffel Tower. I wasn't. Maybe that was Vegas? Oh, I'm not allowed to talk about that. Okay. Anyway, it was France. I was in France. I realized I was in France. But why did I forget about it? It was a stopover. It was a stopover. I was in France for a couple hours. And my wife speaks French, so she goes, let's go. I never would have gone in with that. Like, wine. Right, I wasn't going to do it, yeah? So I said, fromage, poulet, whatever. I'm not going in there with any cheese and chicken. Right, so I said, okay, you know, my wife's like, let's do it. I said, okay, we were in there for maybe an hour. We went to the Eiffel Tower. Of course, I wore my baseball cap, you know what I'm saying? You got to love them Jews. Anyways, I think we must have spoken about this. I can't get away not speaking about this. Like, you know, you go to like Great Adventure on Sukkot, you know? Everyone's wearing the baseball cap. The scissors are hanging out of the back like a tail, you know? And they go, you're like, you know, we need one for Mincha. You go, what is Mincha? I don't know what Epis, what you talk. I go to Roller Coaster. I go to Roller Coaster, right? We need a center. A center? Oh, okay, I'm coming, right? Yeah, like, everybody's Jewish there. That's right, the best. A Yankee hat, you're Jewish. Anyway, so what happens? I'm wearing a Red Sox hat. And so I was in France. I was in France. So now I turn to the guy, I'm like, who do you work for? He's like, KGB. I'm like, what? And he's like, nothing, I didn't say anything, okay? I said, okay, fine. All right, I was in France. Now, what's going on here? He goes, you owe me a wife. I said, dude, this is getting strange. This is getting really strange. Yeah, now I'm like, security! You know, like, what's going on here? He says, you really don't remember? I said, clearly! I don't remember. Like, I don't even know. And I'll tell you the truth, I wouldn't tell you the story if I did. I don't. Maybe I would. I don't know if I would. But I would be more inclined not to tell you if I actually remembered this story. Being that I don't really remember the story, I only remember from Boris, right? So therefore, I could tell you back what he told me. He said, don't you remember we were sitting on the plane? I said, stop saying don't you remember, yeah? He said, okay, we were sitting on the plane. And you were sitting with your wife, and don't you remember I was sitting with my girlfriend? I go, no, I don't remember your girlfriend, right? And he goes, okay, so this is what happened. See, my girlfriend got up to go use the facilities. And when she got up, you were sitting next to me, and you turned to me, and you said, hey, are you Jewish? And I said, yes. And then you said, that girl you're with, is she Jewish? And I said, no. And then you said to me, come on, what's a good Jewish boy like you doing with a non-Jewish girl? We got plenty to pick from. Say, why you gotta go? I'm saying we got at least less than them, I guess, but you know, we have a lot. You know, we got a couple, we have a couple that you can pick. I said, you know, what are you going, you know what I'm saying? You're Jewish. You want your kids to be Jewish? Want your future to be Jewish? What are you hanging out with a non-Jewish girl? I don't think it's for you. And then he said, and I said, you okay? Like, okay. And that was the conversation. We landed in France. I got off the plane. I walked over to the girl. And I said to her, you know you're not Jewish. She said, yes, I was aware. I said, you know I am Jewish. She goes, yeah, I knew that. He's like, this is not going to work. And I broke up with her. You owe me a wife. I said, it's time for me to leave now. Thank you so much. And I ran. Now, I said this over at another place. A lot of people there. I said, so if anyone's looking for a Russian spy, a girl comes to me afterwards. She says, I'm looking for a Russian spy. A Russian girl. She said, where is he? I said, nobody knows. And they actually ended up, that'd be awesome, I don't know. But this part is actually true. She's actually now learning here in seminary. But the point being, my friends, that's a real letdown, I'm sorry. But the point being, I want to tell you the truth. because of this story. So someone said to me after, so did you find him a wife? I said, I don't know who he is. The guy literally never told me. I went back to that city, and the guy invited me to come to the city. I'm actually teaching his group tomorrow morning. And the guy came, I called him, I said, I'm coming back to the city. You have to find me this Russian guy. He goes, what Russian guy? I'm like, there's a guy, he's Russian. Find him, right? He's like, I'm not a spy. I'm like, he is. He'll find you. You know? Anyway, my friends, at the end, alti bazel choladim, alti mazel chodaver. Number one, other people. We have to treat them appropriately. We have to give everyone the proper respect. They don't have to be anashim chashuvim admod. It could be just very simple, straightforward. They may even be anashim chashuvim admod. But understand the concept is regular, straight up. And also yourself. Understand the koch that you have. One word, one little idea can go out and change someone's entire life, that you're on someone's hit list that you never even knew. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.